testing. This is D.W. Calvert speaking. This is the 19th day of July 1979. I am attending a meeting of the research station superintendents, agricultural research station superintendents of the state of North Carolina at Clemens, North Carolina. And with me is Mr. James R. Edwards, who has been superintendent of the Mountain Research Station in Waynesville for a long period of time, having had some connection with the purchase of that station myself. It's a special pleasure to discuss it with Mr. Edwards. Jim, it's good to see you again. Would you mind just telling us something about where you were born and where you grew up and where you went to school and what led you into the profession of agriculture?
Well, I guess that's a long story. I was born in northern Buncombe County, a small place called Barnardsville. And I went to school in the Barnardsville schools and graduated from the old Barnardsville High School in 1940, a school that is no longer in existence. Following that, I attended Berea College, starting in 1941, and with a three-year stint out for World War II, I returned to Berea in 1946 and graduated in 1948 with a degree in agriculture. I guess probably the main thing that led me into the agricultural field, my father was a part-time farmer in addition to being a school teacher, and also the vocational agriculture work I did while I was in high school.
Was there a vocational teacher who was especially meaningful in your life?
Yes, two or three, really. I had three different ones while I was in high school. Starting out was Monroe Nesbitt, and then was Andy Nesbitt, and finally finished up with E.L. Dillingham, who later went into extension work.
Well, it just so happens that I know all three of those gentlemen, and was in college with Monroe Nesbitt. You were with Dillingham when you graduated.
Right.
And I suppose it was clear to you all along that you would study agriculture.
Yes, I really never gave anything else much consideration.
And why did you go to Berea College?
Well, the primary reason was the only place I could afford.
Well, I can understand that, having had a similar experience. And when you graduated from Berea, after you had had your service experience and went back to Berea, what was your first job?
After graduating from college?
Yes.
I took a position with the Buncombe County School System and taught the Veterans On-Farm training class for 3 years, from 1948 to 1951.
And then from there, where did you go?
I returned, or came to NC State and got my master's degree in animal science.
I guess that's where I first got to know you.
Right.
And having obtained your degree in animal science there, then did you go directly from there to the research station?
Yes, I went directly to the Waynesville station.
What year was that?
That was in 1953.
You went there first as dairyman.
Right, dairy research supervisor.
Dairy research supervisor. What was some of the principal activity in the dairy at that time?
Well, at that time, the primary research program was feeding trials of various sorts.
And with whom were you working at NC State?
Dr. Ray Murley was our contact man.
That's in the animal industry department.
Right.
And how many years were you involved in that particular?
I was in that for 10 years.
For 10 years.
1963.
And then you became superintendent.
I became superintendent in November of 1963.
November of 1963.
After serving 3 months as acting superintendent.
Well, I think it's important that we inject here some of the early history of that station, which I had some personal involvement in, and I'll violate my own guideline here by injecting myself personally into this for that reason. The Waynesville station was established in the early 40s following the taking over of the old Swannanoa station by the Army Department to build Moore General Hospital. It was bought from a man by the name of Clark and was established in part, at least, during the war. I was living in Waynesville myself in the early days of the existence of that station and was responsible for beginning some of the development of the station. Most of the development, however, has been done by Mr. Edwards and by others who came on later and have developed it into a rather complete research station, not complete in all of agriculture, but rather complete in the areas it's attempting to serve. Tell us about the major program that you have there now.
Well, our present programs are a complete change from what we were doing even 10 years ago. In 1968, I believe, poultry work was all closed out at the Waynesville station.
What was the basis of the decision to close out the poultry work?
I'm not sure, but apparently they were trying to concentrate it all in fewer locations at about the same time that they closed out the poultry work at the old Willard station.
Or it's the poultry work was felt that the information could be obtained somewhere else and transported rather than to have it duplicated?
Yes, that was one factor. Another was the poultry industry in the western part of the state at that time was beginning to go downhill.
And the poultry was closed out and the dairy was closed?
The dairy was closed out in 1971 for much the same reasons. Tremendously expensive, of course, to do dairy research.
Yes.
And at that time, they closed out the dairy herd at Waynesville, and at about the same time, the dairy herd at Willard, I believe.
So most of the dairy research is now at the Piedmont Research
Farm
and at Raleigh.
And at the University Farms at Raleigh.
Yes. Well, now, what are your major activities there now?
Our major activities now tend more toward horticulture, I guess, than anything else. Although some work in field crops, we still have a variety testing program in corn, and we have variety testing work with forage crops, alfalfa and grasses. And barley tobacco is still a big part of our research program, as it always has been. But in the horticulture line, we're now involved in Irish potatoes, involved in Christmas trees, although there's some discussion whether this is horticulture and forestry, but both are involved in it. We're also involved in trellis tomato production.
Trellis tomatoes, right.
These are vine ripe tomatoes that are growing in the mountain area. And we've had other horticultural projects from time to time. We've had cabbage, we've had broccoli, cauliflower, cucumbers, whole beans, but none of those right at this time. We also, about 3 years ago, started a beef cattle project, which is primarily it'll be more of a demonstration project than with research, which involves about around 100 head of feeder calves. We buy these in the fall feeder calf sales. We carry them through the winter. We sell a portion of them in the spring, keep enough that we can carry on our pastures, and then they are sold at the stock or at the yearling steer sales in the fall.
Are you have any particular pasture program for them?
We're not doing any research with pastures at the present time. It's primarily a maintenance program. The actual research and demonstration part of the project is in the wintertime, various feeding programs. For example, we just completed this spring a cow the various protein sources of beef cattle. Before that, we were preparing various forages and grains, with hay versus silage, things of that nature.
What grasses do you use in your basic pasture?
Primarily orchard grass.
Orchard grass performs a little better than the fescue in the mountain.
It does. Doesn't necessarily perform better, but it's more nutritious and more palatable. The cattle eat it much better than they do the fescue.
You have, since you reduced the poultry and the dairy operations, this means that the station has probably a little less demand for personnel in terms of numbers, is that?
Well, actually, we have about the same number of permanent people we've always had. We don't use enough temporary help. Most temporary help we use are college students and a few high school students who are preparing to go to college.
How do you find the interest on the part of the farmers and others who come to the station? Are they using it a great deal?
The primary interest in recent years since the program started has been in the beef cattle demonstrations. There's been a tremendous interest in that. It's drawn probably more visitors than any other thing we have. Burley tobacco does draw the number it once did. And the horticulture programs, the Christmas tree program draws quite a few visitors.
What kind of Christmas trees do you grow?
Well, we started out with exclusively with Fraser fir. Now we're branching out a little into white pine and Virginia pine. Some interest in Virginia pine now for Christmas trees.
How old do the trees have to become before they're marketable?
Fraser fir usually takes about 8 years from the time the seedling is set. The ones we put out in 1971, a good amount of those will be ready for market this year.
Where do you plan to market them?
That decision hasn't been made yet, but they'll probably all be marketed locally.
Has the Christmas tree business developed very extensively in that part of the mountain area?
It's not especially big in Haywood County, although there are several sizable plantations, but in Jackson County, just to the west, it's a very sizable industry. And it's growing all the time in all the mountain counties.
Mountain counties are especially well adapted to growing the spruce and pines.
In fact, it's the only section of the state you can grow Fraser fir. And Avery County, I guess, is the biggest producer in the state of Christmas trees by far.
Oh, Avery County. I saw quite a few Christmas trees growing up in my home county, in Ashe County, last week.
There are quite a few in Ashe and Watauga, too, and I think growing in both of those counties also.
Well, the station has changed a great deal, and I'm sure for the better since I saw it. When we moved to the station in 1944, it was had a few houses on it which were repaired and used. And I remember Mr. Whisner, who was the farm superintendent, going up to the Laurel Springs station and bringing back some little white pines and setting them out over there. Some of those are still growing, aren't they?
Most of them are.
Pretty big trees now.
They are. Some of them are 80 feet high, I guess.
Oh, is that right? What do you, you've been there a long time now, I'd be interested in your comments on the relation that you've had with the people in the School of Agriculture. This morning, talking with Commissioner Graham, we went into some detail concerning how the Department of Agriculture and the North Carolina State University School of Agriculture cooperate. What's been your experience with that?
Our cooperation in general has been real good. I've been associated with a lot of project leaders through the years. Have a great deal of respect for most of them. Dr. Keller especially has been one of my favorites in the Burley Tobacco Program.
Dr. Kelly, Keller initially was in charge of tobacco research and more recently director of the experimentation. Who is in charge of the Burley Tobacco Program now?
At the present time, we don't have a permanent man. The last man we had on the scene, Dr. Gerald Peden, who's returned to the campus, and there's a search on at the present time for a replacement, but it's been about 2 years, and so far, we haven't come up with one.
What other comments would you have? Do you have any particular comments? I take it that the level of your cooperation has been reasonably satisfactory.
Yes, I think so.
The Turkish tobacco program didn't last very long up there, did it?
No, the Turkish program went out many years ago, about the time I went to the station. Now, we did do a little work in later years with some Turkish Burley crosses, but that didn't amount to anything either. It's been, I guess, 15 years or more since any of that was done.
Well, back in the very early days of both the Waynesville station and the Laurel Springs stations, an effort was made to introduce aromatic tobaccos into the mountain area on the assumption that where there was a considerable amount of labor available, it might be a crop that would require very little land and would pay pretty good wages to large amount of labor that would be involved per acre. But I guess the observation was that they could grow the tobacco pretty well, but it was probably not that much demand for a high labor-intense program.
I think that's true, and it would be even harder these days, I think, to come up with labor for a program of that kind.
What are the biggest changes that are taking place in the counties, Haywood County and the surrounding counties now, in the pattern of their agriculture?
Well, when I went to Haywood County in 1953, it was primarily dairying and field crops. And at that time, I think there were some 50 grade A dairies in the county, and that number has now dropped to, I'm not sure, but I'd say around 20 or less. But the total number of cattle is probably greater now than it was then. The herds are much larger.
Yes.
And also the emphasis has shifted a lot to horticultural crops, primarily trellis tomatoes and also some strawberries. Ornamentals are becoming bigger all the time. Christmas trees.
How does your program relate to the program of the Fletcher Horticultural Research Station?
Well, most of the project leaders that work on our station of horticulture are based at Fletcher Station. They travel back and forth to do the work over there, so they're tied together very closely. Now, the one exception to that is the Irish Potato Program, which is directed by Dr. Frank Haynes, and he is on the campus. And this is primarily a support program for the commercial potato growers in northeastern North Carolina.
So that they do have research specialist stationed at Fletcher who
yes.
Handle part of your work. You almost have to have that with vegetable work, don't you?
Right.
Do you have any apples?
Not any longer. We took out our last apple trees last year.
There was an orchard planted on the station after it was purchased, wasn't it?
In about 1950, an orchard was established.
Why was it discontinued then?
Well, I think the primary reason, the center of apple production shifted to Henderson County, and they consolidated all the work at the Fletcher Station.
At one time, one of the largest orchards, I guess the largest orchard in the state, was there near Waynesville. Is that orchard still?
The orchard is still in existence.
Still commercially operated?
Barber's Orchard, yes. It's still commercially operated, although it has changed hands, but Mr. Barber's still running it, I think.
But the Henderson area has expanded very rapidly.
Yes. Henderson County, at the present time, produces more apples than all the rest of North Carolina put together. By far. I believe the last figure I saw on their annual crop is in the neighborhood of 5 million bushels.
Well, it's very interesting to hear your comment about it. What do you have any particular comments about the developments in the agriculture of the western part of the state in relation to NC State or to industry or county agents or in any other relationship? What we'd like to do here is just to have the record show pretty well what's taking place at the era that you represent there. Perhaps you have some questions that I wouldn't be able to think about.
Well, there have been big changes, of course. You probably get more information on this from Harley Blackwell, but the station at Fletcher was established in support of the Gerber Products Plant that came into Asheville back in the 50s. Of course, it's a big consumer of horticultural crops.
Have they developed new crops? Again, Blackwell could tell us this, I'm sure, but have they actually developed the new crops that Gerber is using?
I'm not sure just what they've developed in the vegetable line. I think the primary thing they're using now in that particular plant is apples. And they do bring in a lot of carrots and things of that nature from eastern North Carolina to the plant up there for processing.
Well, when they first went, I guess they weren't even getting them from North Carolina at all.
Right, they weren't. And this was one reason the station was established there, as I understand it.
Well, we'll get into that when we talk with Blackwell, but I happen to have had some involvement with the establishment of that one, too. And it was established directly as a result of the coming of the Gerber plant. I think there's no question about that. And Governor Luther Hodges was very much involved in that. But another story. I suppose Mr. Clark, the man who owned the station there at Waynesville, is he living? Or
no, he's dead. He's been dead for several years.
The prices of land have gone up very rapidly up there, haven't they?
Oh, yes, indeed. You probably remember the purchase price on the original station.
Well, I don't remember it precisely. I have it. I'll put that into the record. But what would that land sell for now?
I would say if they sold the entire station at prevailing prices, it would probably bring $1.5 million.
Was that so? How many acres?
There are 388 acres, which includes about 35 acres of land that it operated 4-H camp.
Yes.
Since you left up there, you probably know that they bought an additional tract, which you had an option on, I believe, at the time, Keeters.
That's right, I remember that.
I believe it was in 1950 that they made that
that's
purchase.
That's back...
It's on the south side of the station.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, there's been no land added to the original purchase. And very little sold. There's been a small portion or two to straighten the line or provide a right-of-way or something like that. The original acreage is still very close to what it is now.
Well, they, when the decision was made to locate the farm at Waynesville, it was a decision made after looking at several other sites which might represent to some extent the agriculture of the western part of the state. Do you have have a sense of any great deficiencies that the need to be filled, that the present station is not adequate to take care of in terms of the agriculture?
I would say that we are fairly typical of mountain farming land. Of course, with most stations, we're pressed for plot land, ideal plot land, which is a hard item to come by in any case. But we could, I think we have the land and facilities. We could be doing a little more research work than we are doing in some areas. And I think the greatest opportunity for increased work would be in the field of ornamentals, maybe forestry, and some expansion in field crops work.
Does the existence of the tourist business Does the Waynesville area have any particular impact on the station?
Well, it brings a lot of visitors. I'm not about the only impact.
Mostly people are just interested in learning about the area rather than actual users of the
information. Yes, some visiting scientists too, of course. We had a visitor this last week, just retired from one of the experiment stations in Florida. We saw her sign and dropped in to chat a while.
Yes.
Then we have a lot of people moving into the mountains from other areas of the country. A lot of them are interested in what I would call subsistence farming. In other words, they think they can live off of land like they used to do. We're always getting inquiries from them about various things.
I suppose there's a growing demand for ornamental information too, as you have people establishing new homes.
Yes, and it is a big industry.
Are there some fairly large commercial nurseries developing? There's been some all the time.
Most of the ones in our immediate area are small, but they're all growing. And there have been a great number of them established in just the last few years. We had a man just retired as area soil science, soil conservation service in the nursery business. He's made a family operation out of it, doing real well.
Tell us about the 4-H Club Camp. I know that the camp was established there early in the history of the station and was named for Dean Iowa Schaub. Is it still operating about the same basis?
It's still operating very much in the same manner. I don't think they have a very long camping session this summer, but they are in operation.
Do most of the 4-H Club youngsters visit the station? Or?
We don't get that as much as we used to, because most of the campers are getting now are younger than they used to be. Most of them are junior campers. But occasionally we have a group that wants to tour the station.
The management of the station is handled entirely by the 4-H Club people, is it, or do you have some role in that?
And the only role we have at the 4-H Camp, we look after the property farm in the off season. And also give them a lot of help during camping season doing the mowing.
You do any mowing or any kind of work that requires machinery? And
yes, we try to do that for them usually.
Well, that, the pattern of having camp located on the station, I guess, grew out of the old Swannanoa station.
I'm sure it did.
One of the very first camps. And at that time, the need for youngsters to get out and see things was so much greater than it is in recent years. I guess it's become now more of a matter of general education than it has a matter of strictly agricultural exposure.
Right. I think the situation changed in that just as it has in everything else. I might mention that we have some additional demands from some of the technical institutes that have been established too. We provide sort of a laboratory and classroom for Haywood Technical Institute.
Oh, is that right? They're training quite a few people in horticulture?
Yes, they have a program in horticulture and they also have a program in forestry and sawmill operations. So we've let them use our forest land for some of their training programs.
Well, that's a very very good use of the state's property, because actually they don't own very much property, do they?
No, about the only thing they own is a campus. They don't have any other land.
Well, it's an ideal arrangement for them to use the horticultural aspect, especially the forestry, I suppose. We don't have a forestry experiment. Well, they have the federal forest experiment station.
One at Bent Creek.
At Bent Creek, yes.
And they also have the hydrological laboratory over Cali in Macon County.
At one time there was a TVA project up on the station there on erosion and drainage. Is that?
That has been closed out. That was done about 5 years ago.
It lasted up until 5 years ago.
Yes, it was a very extensive program up until that time. In fact, just a couple of years before they closed it out, they spent about $40,000 on some instrumentation up there.
What was that? Well, Jim, it's awful good to have a chance to chat with you. I'll send the information we have. Are there any other particular observations you
Yes, something else has changed. We have two extension specialists stationed with us now, yes.
What fields are they?
One is in Burley Tobacco, and the other is in livestock.
Well, that's a new development, isn't it?
Yes, it's very recent in the case of the livestock specialist. He's been there about 3 years now.
Tell us how it works.
Well, he is one of the area specialists. He covers the Western District. I forgot how many counties he has. I think about 14 or 15.
And what's his relationship to the station?
Well, he is in charge of the beef cattle demonstration program.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
And he lives on the station?
No, he doesn't live on the station, but he does live in Ramsey. And of course, the Burley Tobacco specialist is an outgrowth of the Burley Tobacco program. Started when Dr. Luther Shaw was still part of the tobacco research man at the USDA at the station. And two or three years before he died, the need was seen for an extension specialist in Burley Tobacco. And one was employed, D.M. Gossett. Pete Gossett, who is now
Gossett is G-O-S-S-E-T-T.